Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House, Oldie Timey Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, accompanied by
Dave Bigley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here with none other than
the ghoul. There you go.
There you go. The man who never misses his cue. All right. Tonight, Tales from the Amazon. You know, South America, I didn't learn much about it as a kid other than, you know, a few adventure stories and movies and whatever. It's such a huge, diverse country. I mean, it is filled with all kinds of wildlife. And what? Isn't the Amazon, like, the greatest rainforest on the planet?
One of them, as well as a great place for natural resources as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
they keep mowing it down.
As it is tonight, it's also a source of great adventure tales.
Yeah, one that Gar and I have yet to figure out, but maybe we'll figure it out tonight, finally, after listening to it several times each of us.
if I survive the night, maybe I can lend a hand. We'll see.
There you go.
Yeah, Dale's a little bit under the weather tonight, and he's going to hang around with us as much as he can. And I don't know, he always gains strength as he goes along, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him stick the whole time. But if he doesn't, we'll hold down the fort.
Well, we will. This will be the first time I've ever held down a fort.
Really?
Yes.
Don't like fort holding? What? Is that...
Did you say fort like F-O-R-T?
F-O-R-T-E.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not F-O-R-K, F-O-R-T. Yeah.
No, I was thinking of a different vowel than O, because you definitely want to hold those down.
He's not shit.
What are you talking about? He's talking about the... Yeah, no.
We don't do that
on this show. We don't do that on this show.
No, we never have resorted to brown humor, have we?
We have not. It's because at our age it's not funny anymore.
No.
It's called reality.
Yeah. At my age, it's like, oh, my God, did I just lose an organ? Oh.
See, now that would be a good place to put organ music in.
There you go.
Yeah, we don't have organ music bumpers.
You have organ music, Gar. It's your boinger. Never mind.
I do. It's in the other room. It's always in the other room.
It was in that room a minute ago. What the heck? Are your rooms moving?
Now I'm in the living room.
I'm
on the move.
Rooms or what?
I'm on the move.
keep your movements down, and I'll try to do the same. Believe me, I've been trying all week.
Okay, I would say I need a strap. You know, that way I can hang on to the boinger. But then Dale's going to say something weird.
Who? Me? I would never.
About some type of strap plus boinger. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm as pure as the driven snow.
I got it.
But,
it's on me.
But I drifted. Three tales from the Amazon. Now, these radio programs, Dave, I don't think we've had here before. Have we had the key?
I think we have, way back when, I think we may have had one episode of the key. I think we may have had one episode of Midnight.
Really?
How about Man Called X? That does not
sound
familiar.
We have never had Man Called X. It's a Herbert Marshall series. He was kind of a spy type character, I think.
Kind of like
Brian Dunleavy did in Dangerous Assignment. That's the closest thing that we've come to, and
We do have a new to the program show today. Then,
well, that would be
one of the rare ones we don't play too often.
That's true. Well, that's because some of them don't have a whole lot. I mean, Midnight only created 13 episodes. So.
Yeah.
And those are radio enthusiasts, much like what we are, but they got together and made 13 shows. That's why, although the host was great, the actors were a little uneven at times, but it's just because, like on radio stage, We were people just putting together, having fun putting a radio show together.
Oh, who knows? Maybe we can do the same sometime. Our little crew here.
Does the key come to us from Australia or Austria?
I don't think so. Let me see.
Albania.
Here.
Botswana. I love Botswana.
It was a brainchild of famed pulp mystery writer and world traveler James Workman. I know that really stands out in your brains as it does mine. No, I got no idea. But
I saw it had a listing on a radio log Wednesday, December 11th, 1957, and I thought it was in an Australian publication.
Okay, because I'm looking at the old-time radio, the OTRCAT, and they list nothing about it being Australian, but that does not mean it isn't. Or a lot of times Australia also got our scripts and redid them. They bought scripts and rights to do them in Australia. So that could have been one of those shows.
But this one's so obscure, I don't know why they do that. But I went digging a little research, on this, and I found that it was aired there. And I had to do gar math to get an air date, but we've got one for that when the time comes.
Another fictitious air date coming up. Wonderful, wonderful.
Hey, what are we saying there?
It's not
fake. I just dare you to disprove me.
It's not fake. It's just not real. That's all.
Yeah.
Hey, what are we doing? You're saying I'm disingenuous? Why?
I did not say that.
You
I did not
say
that.
That
at all.
I said
it. I might have implied it, but I never said it.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Yeah. I'd be so rude to come right out, you know, with it.
That's right. That would be terrible.
Well, it's okay to be rude to family. They get over it. You know, that's okay.
And we are family. We are family.
We are.
We got
our
brothers
records.
CW.
Mothers and sisters with us and all that. Yeah, whatever those words were. Yeah.
So you like Botswana, do you?
I do, yeah, because it sounds like Batman. Right. In Botswana, it's like if Batman had a country, Botswana.
Since you like Botswana, let me play you the only song I know of that has Botswana in the lyrics.
Animania.
Now, the nations of the world, brought to you by Jacko Warner.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador, too, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still, Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Belize, Nicaragua, Bermuda, Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan, Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, and French Guiana, Barbados, and Guam. Norway and Sweden and Iceland and Finland and Germany now one piece. Switzerland, Austria, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Turkey and Greece. Poland, Romania, Scotland, Albania, Ireland, Russia, Oman. Bulgaria, Saudi Arabia, Hungary, Cyprus, Iraq and Iran. There's Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, both Yemen, Kuwait and Bahrain. The Netherlands, Luxembourg, Belgium and Portugal, France, England, Denmark and Spain. India, Pakistan, Burma, Afghanistan, Thailand, Nepal, and Bhutan, Cambodia, Malaysia, then Bangladesh, Asia, and China, Korea, Japan, Mongolia, Laos, and Tibet, Indonesia, the Philippine Islands, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, New Guinea, Sumatra, New Zealand, and Borneo, and Vietnam, Tunisia, Morocco, Uganda, Angola, Zimbabwe, Djibouti, Botswana, Mozambique, Zambia, Swaziland, Gambia, Guinea, Algeria, Ghana. Burundi, Lesotho, and Malawi, Togo, the Spanish Sahara is gone. Niger, Nigeria, Chad, and Liberia, Egypt, Benin, and Gabon. Tanzania, Somalia, Kenya, and Mali, Sierra Leone, and Algeria. Dahomey, Namibia, Senegal, Libya, Cameroon, Congo, Zaire, Ethiopia, Guinea-Bissau, Madagascar, Rwanda, Mayor, and Cayman. Hong Kong, Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Yugoslavia, Crete, Mauritania, then Transylvania, Monaco, Liechtenstein, Malta, and Palestine, Fiji, Australia, Sudan.
There you go.
Why they did not teach us that in school, I don't know. We would have figured it out. We would know.
Yeah, I think we all know these things. If you put them in rhyme like that and sing them out, and I think we'd learn them all.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? The Animaniacs would have made, if handled properly by the schools, would have made a great educational tool. They had some interesting songs. They had one with the 50 states, which even more so, I think, should be taught to kids.
Yeah, they probably had a president song. They had everything. It was great. I loved that show. It was great.
It was so well written. The reboot, not quite as good, but the original shows, those were fantastic.
Yeah. And I don't even know how old I was when they kicked those out. Maybe I was in my early 30s.
It would have had to have been the early 90s. My son was born in 91, and I raised him on this stuff, you know. I said, this is the closest you're going to get to the kind of cartoons I grew up with. And it let him become a little interested in the classic Warner Brothers that you and I and our listeners probably grew up with.
Yeah.
The Looney Tunes, yes.
But I'll bet they went and visited the Amazon like we're about to do right now. Where do you want to start, gentlemen?
Go ahead, Gar, pick a number.
The Man Called X.
Man Called X. Yeah, good old
Herbert. We'll go down the river here. The Amazon River is the title.
Yes,
and
it
what
is.
What else can we say about this radio program?
Other than being, you know, a Herbert Marshall vehicle, I heard him on several interesting programs, including a very interesting episode of Suspense, where he basically played all the characters. I thought just a very interesting, very talented actor, both for radio, Hollywood, and I think he did some television as well. But I guess that's what I got at Herbert Marshall for right now.
There you go. Well, then let's...
I can't contest anything.
Do we have a date for this one, or are we going to guesstimate?
We do.
We have a real one, yeah.
And it's Friday, June 15th, 1951. Episode is what?
36.
Now we present Herbert Marshall as the Man Called X, the Friday night feature on NBC's five-show festival of comedy, music, mystery, and drama. Brought to you by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by Chesterfield, always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. Herbert Marshall as the Man Called X. Wherever there is mystery, intrigue, romance, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find the Man Called X. When we ask you to try Anacin for the relief of pain due to a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, we are not asking you to try a new or unproved method. For there are many people listening in now who have been introduced to Anacin tablets by their own dentist or physician. You who have received Anacin this way know the effective, incredibly fast relief these tablets bring. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. People by the thousands are using modern Anacin today instead of other ways. Doesn't their experience seem worth following? Try Anacin the next time you suffer pains from headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. You will be delighted with the results. Ask your druggist for Anacin today. Anacin is spelled A-N-A-C-I-N. It began in a dank green world of fetid, rotting vegetation, a world of oppressive heat, of loathsome insects, and of even more loathsome disease. Strange that that should have been the setting for a silent, deadly battle for the souls and minds of men. So Dr. Merrick's been murdered.
That's right, Ken. sorry to hit you with news like that about an old friend on your first day back from Calcutta.
Where did that happen, Chief?
In a little village called Belterra, up the Amazon River in Brazil.
Hmm. What was he doing there, establishing a new medical clinic?
Yeah. You knew, of course, that he was working with the Institute of Inter-American Affairs, cooperating with the Brazilian government.
Yeah. Trying to stamp out disease, malnutrition. So somebody killed him. Chief, it's an old pattern. We've been running into it all over the Americas. Wherever we're getting strategic materials. And it's not coincidence.
You think Dr. Maddox's death is tied up with a plan to sabotage our defense efforts?
What do you think?
Maybe you're right, Ken. After all, rubber is a pretty vital material these days.
So are human lives. Oh, well, you'll hear from me, Chief. From Brazil.
Lucky you got here when you did, Mr. Thurston. The boat going upriver to Belterra is ready to leave.
It's a pretty sudden trip for you, isn't it, Dr. Northrup? I understood you were stated for a return to the States.
I was, but they had to have a replacement for Dr. Maddox in a hurry. I'd been his assistant, was familiar with the territory.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
One of the few things about this affair that does. Look, Thurston, I'm going to be frank. You came to me with some pretty authoritative letters from the Institute and the Brazilian government. So I'm taking you along with me. But I don't like any part of it.
Why don't you?
Because there's liable to be trouble on the Amazon. The native rubber workers aren't very happy with North Americans right now. Somebody could get hurt.
Well, you sound pretty solicitous about my welfare.
I don't give a hang about your welfare, but I do care about those poor devils in the jungle, hag-ridden for centuries by disease and malnutrition. There's a full-time, 24-hour-a-day job waiting for me in Belterra as a doctor. I won't have any time to play wet nurse to you.
Why not wait until you're asked?
Sometimes a man facing a gun doesn't have time to ask.
Is that a threat or a warning?
Let's call it a statement of fact. There's the riverboat. Are you still coming with me?
After the fascinating picture you painted, how could I turn back now?
Okay, Thurston. Let's get aboard. I'll let the captain know we're ready to shove off. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks.
Hello, Mr. Thurston.
What?
Welcome on board, my amigo friend. I bet you're happy to see me here, eh, Mr. Eggs?
Dagon, what are you doing here?
Well, naturally, when I heard that your old friend Dr. Maddox got himself bumped out, I just had to offer my sympathy.
So you called the Bureau and conned Miss Brooks into telling you where I was going?
Well, can I help it if she likes my act?
Okay. But this trip, you're on your own.
Oh, sure.
And all expenses, including burial, come out of your own pocket.
Well, Natch, believe me, Mr. Thurston, I'll be happy to pay for my own burial.
Yeah. The natives up the river are shrinking heads again.
They are?
Might be interesting to see how yours turns out. Come to think of it, it might be an improvement.
Well, thank you, Mr.
See you around, Pagan.
Oh, sure. I'll see you. Shrunken heads. See how mine turns out. Might be him an improvement. Oh, Mr. Red!
There's our clinic, Thurston.
Everything seems peaceful enough right now, Northrop.
Oh, sure it does. Hey, maybe there won't be no trouble over here after all, eh, Mr. Thurston?
The Amazon jungle doesn't announce its deadliness, Zellschmidt.
It doesn't?
Rhea could be dead inside there, and the setting would be just as serene.
That's a cheerful thought. Who is Maria?
Maria Costello. She was Dr. Maddox's nurse.
And she's been up here alone ever since Maddox was killed?
Maria has a way with the natives. Unfortunately, the same doesn't hold true for you.
Hey, what about me? Not even my Uncle Ahmed.
That's from the clinic.
Come on.
Be right with you, Mr. Thurston, as soon as I tie my shoelaces.
Now, I will not let you kill my filho. My baby, I will kill you all first. Kill you all.
That is nonsense, Luis. We are not trying to hurt your son. Only to keep him from dying.
Maria, what is going on here? What were those shots? Vilas.
No, Dr. Northrup. it was not I. Our old friend Luis was a bit upset. I had to take his gun away from him.
There are other pistolas, Senor Vilas. You cannot take them all. If my baby dies, you all die. You understand? You all die.
Sounds like he meant that.
I can assure you that he did, Senor.
My name's Ken Thurston.
Thurston, this is Ferdinand Vilas, manager of the rubber plantation.
Senor?
And this is Maria Castello, my nurse.
Senor Thurston?
Do you always find the practice of medicine here as exciting as this, Senorita Castello?
Oh, I cannot understand it. His wife brought their infant child here. He was due for his smallpox vaccination. And then Luis broke in with that gun, threatened to kill me if I even touched the child.
But you've certainly vaccinated children here before.
Hundreds of them.
Well, there must be an explanation for this.
The natives here have developed a great distrust of all Americanos del Norte, Senor Thurston. They say that they are bringing death to the Amazon. Death with their shiny medicinal needles.
That's superstitious nonsense, Vilas. Where are the mother and child now, Maria?
In the examining room, Doctor. It is really most urgent that I vaccinate the child. A smallpox epidemic has broken out upriver.
All right, Maria. Take care of it at once.
Very well, Dr. Northrup.
I do not think that was very wise, Dr. Northrup.
Oh?
Why not, Senor Vilas? You superstitious, too?
Merely realistic. Luis is the head man of the village. If anything should happen to his child, I'm afraid there will be a great deal of danger to all of us.
Hello, Maria.
Huh? Oh, it is you, Senor Thurston.
You mind if I share the riverbank with you?
Please do.
Thanks. You seem a little tired tonight. Too much work at the clinic?
Oh, no, senor. The work, I love it. It was this afternoon, I think, that upset me.
Oh, that's understandable.
Oh, but that is just the point, senor. It is not understandable.
Oh, why not?
The natives were never like this before. Sullen, hostile, threatening. They worship Dr. Maddock.
What caused the change, Maria? His murder?
Are you certain you do not know, Senor X?
Well, I didn't realize Pagan was getting around that fast.
Oh, you mean the strange little man who came upriver with you? No. No, he did not tell me. It was Dr. Maddock.
Dr. Maddock?
Yes. The night before he was killed, he spoke to me about you. He said that you were the only man he knew who could handle the situation down here, and that he was going to write to you concerning it.
That's all he said?
That was all. But I will make a guess as to what he had in mind.
Okay, go ahead.
Someone is stirring up the trouble among the natives. Someone who is interested in preventing rubber from reaching the United States. Someone who wishes to turn the Americas against each other for the benefit of his own country.
Who is he, Maria?
I do not know.
Care to make another guess?
Mr. Thurston! Are you
who,
Mr. Thurston?
It is late, senor. And I am tired.
Mr. Thurston, are you out here somewhere?
That's all you have to say, Maria?
That is all.
Mr. Thurston, are you... there you are. I was wondering... Oh, hello, baby.
Good night, Senor Thurston. Ate a vista.
Hey, what's your hurry, baby? Why don't you stick around a while and... How do you like that? A brush up. After the way she went for me in Lisbon.
Lisbon?
Oh, sure. I ran into her during the war. Boy, she knew more military secrets. A regular Hatamari.
Is that you, Senor Thurston?
That's right, Vilas. I thought you'd gone back to the rubber plantation.
No. I wish to speak with you first.
About what?
Northrop tells me you came here with papers from the Brazilian government. Is that true?
Go on.
Someone in authority must persuade Maria and Northrop that their tactics with the natives will lead only to disaster. They are antagonizing the natives. The incident of the baby this afternoon is a case in point.
Well, somebody's got a cart before a horse, Vilas. The natives were worked up before this afternoon. Before Dr. Maddock's murder.
That is unimportant.
Is it?
What matters is that they are worked up. to such a pitch that the slightest spark will bring about an explosion. And if anything happens to that baby of Luis, believe me, Senor Thurston, our lives will not be...
Senor.
Came from that hut. Come on.
But that is Dr. Northrop's hut.
Yeah.
There he is, Senor. A wound in the shoulder.
Northrop, what happened?
That devil, Luis Mendoza, shot me.
Luis? You are certain?
I saw him clearly enough.
He gave no warning, did not say why?
No, nothing.
You're wrong, Northrop. He did tell you why. Look. Here beside the door.
Madre de Dios.
What is it, Thurston? Venus, what are you staring at?
Luis Mendoza's baby. Dead.
We will continue with The Man Called X in just a moment. Here's a word from RCA Victor. Tagliavini, the great Italian tenor, toast of two continents, can be enjoyed whenever you choose to hear him on RCA Victor Red Seal Records. Yes, now you can hear the superb new album, Neapolitan Folk Songs, beautifully sung by Tagliavini and brilliantly recorded by RCA Victor in all three record speeds. This wonderful album is available now at your record dealers. And it will be a magnificent addition to your record library, these Red Seal records. You'll want to own and play over and over again. You'll hear Tagliavini's warm lyric tenor in all its natural magnificence as he sings these beloved, sun-drenched Italian folk songs. Tagliavini's incomparable bel canto has never sounded better than in his unforgettable performance of the album Neapolitan Folk Songs. Tagliavini has been heard by critics the world over, acclaimed by audiences everywhere. Now you can buy his exciting new RCA Victor Red Seal album. Ask your RCA Victor dealer for your album copy of Neapolitan Folk Songs, sung by the one and only Tagliavini.
So what? These songs are part vanilla, part chocolate, and part strawberry, I guess.
Yes, if they're Neapolitan.
If they're Neapolitan, they must be.
Yeah. So, Gar, what do you think of A Man Called X thus far?
A lot of twists and turns. A lot of gunfire. What's going on?
I guess I'm very much like the dangerous assignment type thing where you're sent around the world and trying to avert international crises.
Right. And he
welcome Jack Forsyth. We got a new chatter here. Jack Forsyth, thanks for joining us live.
Oh, Jack's gone.
That was short-lived.
Bringing him to the forefront.
Yeah.
That's right. We're going to tell your mom you were in here past your bedtime.
Yeah.
It's almost past nine. But,
so on that Anderson commercial at the beginning, they said something called Eurasia? What the heck type of malady is that? It doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Anderson, that's been around a while.
Yeah. They were treating some things I've never heard of, though. I was like, really? You got a flat tire? Anderson.
Yeah.
Your bug stop balance? Anderson.
Just crush them up and put them in your tires. It'll be fine.
There you go. Yep. Works every time.
Yeah. I don't remember taking it a lot as a kid, but I remember the package. I remember seeing that we had it around the house, but it just,
I think it was a favorite on soap operas. It was a favorite advertiser back in the 70s and the 60s.
You know, other than getting rid of things like polio and measles and other things, you know, like chicken pox and whatever, I think the greatest contribution to the medical industry is Anacin. Anacin is so simple. It's been around forever. It does so much. You know what I mean?
Hey, Bear, that's the wonder drug.
But
yeah.
Is it all that different from aspirin?
It's aspirin. Anacin is aspirin, yeah.
It's just a brand name. And were they not the first to come out with buffered aspirin for children?
They may have been the first to come. Yeah, they may have been the first to do the buffered. Yeah. Or was it is them or Bayer? They're right about the same time. So that one stole it from the other. I mean, one got it from the other, I think.
Yep. Well, the other wonderful thing about aspirin. It was never, the person who invented it didn't patent it, I don't think.
Right. Because aspirin was a brand name, and it was used so often that people would request aspirin, but not necessarily want the brand. And then it turned more into an overall catch-all name for the drug that many people were offering.
Kind of like Kleenex, huh?
Yeah, sure, like Kleenex. Yeah, exactly.
Every tissue is a Kleenex.
Except that Kleenex kept their rights.
Yeah.
But aspirin lost its rights because it became too universally used instead of specifically used. Best of my knowledge. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Okay, let's wrap up a man called X. Not a fish called Wanda. As we continue on down. Down the Amazon River. We'll be
down
back. At least two of us will.
And now we return to The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall with Leon Belasco as Pagan Zellschmidt. Ken Thurston is in a small native village far up the Amazon River, trying to determine the motive behind the murder of Dr. Maddock. But even more sinister than the surrounding jungle are the unseen forces at work there, fomenting hatred against the United States, threatening to disrupt the rubber production, plotting a native uprising that will mean death to all the foreign devils who have trespassed there. It is now some 15 minutes after the attack on Dr. Northrup and the discovery of the dead native baby.
But it is not possible, senores. I tell you, that smallpox vaccine could not have killed that child.
That's not entirely true, Maria. But there's always the remote possibility of faulty body chemistry, lack of normal antibodies.
I think you are being very professional, very scientific, and completely unrealistic about the entire situation, my friends.
You mean the attack on Northrop, and what's liable to follow?
But of course, that attack was a warning that the natives are rising against us. That is what matters, not how the baby died.
You're wrong, Vila.
Wrong? How can you doubt that we are all in danger now?
I don't. And the way the baby died proves it.
What kind of double talk is that, Thurston?
Did you or Maria examine the child's body?
No. We were too busy with my shoulder.
Well, you should have. The vaccine wasn't the cause of death. It was botulism.
Botulism?
Yeah. The deadliest kind of food poisoning.
But that is not possible, Senor Thurston. The child had not been weaned. A breastfed child could not possibly have died from botulism. Unless...
That's right, Maria. Unless it was deliberately poisoned.
Look, Mr. X. Why do we have to go sightseeing in a rubber plantation at this time of night anyways?
Your idea to come along with me, Pagan. Go on back alone if you don't like it.
I don't like that idea even better. Listen to those natives in that compound over there. I bet they're already arguing about who's going to get my head for their mantelpiece.
Could be.
Ooh. Hey, what's this place?
The Rubber Plantation Laboratory. Villas gave me the key. Let's go in.
What are we looking for here, anyways?
Wheeler told me he'd turn part of his lab over to the clinic. Northrop's using it until they get their own built.
So what?
Look here.
You mean those funny glass bottles with that stuff inside?
That stuff happens to be cultures. This one looks like rabbit's blood. This? Yeah, probably based on a... Beef broth.
Beef broth. Very interesting. So let's get out of here now before somebody comes in and looking for heads or something.
Okay, there's a plantation speedboat over at the dock. Take it downriver to the clinic at Monte Alegre. I'll give you a list of things to pick up and bring back here.
Believe me, I'm practically there already. No, sir. Huh? Bring some stuff back.
That's right.
Oh, what a joke. I wouldn't come back for $1 million.
How about 50?
I'll take it.
You must be crazy, Thurston, letting Zellsmith take that speedboat. Those natives are liable to move against us at any time.
Dr. Northrop is right. You have taken away our only means of escaping from here.
Looks like it, Vilas, doesn't it?
Why are you so casual about the situation, Senor Thurston? What did you learn at the laboratory earlier this evening?
Don't you know, Maria?
How could I?
Well, maybe the same way you learned I was there. When only Vilas knew I was going. Or is there another answer?
Have you thought of the obvious one, Senor? That I followed you there to learn for myself what is going on?
I thought of it.
What the devil is all this talk about the laboratory? What's that got to do with the spot we're in?
Everything, Northrop. I learned that we're not in a spot. Unless someone in this room wants us to be.
That is a rather strange statement to make, Senor Thurston.
Is it? Somebody murdered Dr. Maddock, then poisoned that little child to stir up those natives. Now, why?
Why? There is no answer. None of it makes any sense.
No. No, that is not so, Dr. Northrop. There are some very obvious answers. To stop the production of rubber, turn natural allies against one another. Now I see what you mean, Senor Thurston. Only one of us could have had the opportunity to do all these things.
That's right, Vilas.
I can't believe it. You two are actually serious about all this.
Of course they are serious, Doctor. But they have left one thing unsaid. The name of the person who is responsible. Just who do you have in mind, Senor Thurston?
Suppose the three of you work it over for a while. Oh, and let me know how you come out, will you? I'm going to get some sleep. For someone.
What?
Diablo. That knife. Wait. Let's have it, Quan. Drop it. Drop it. That's better. Now, suppose you tell me who.
What's that? You all right, Thurston?
Northrop.
I hope I didn't pick you. I had to snap him off in that split second when you shoved him away.
Why?
Why? Well, for Pete's sake, man. He was trying to kill you.
After he dropped the knife?
But he was Luis Mendoza's brother. He was after you to avenge the baby's death.
Oh, you're having a little trouble making a diagnosis tonight, Northrop. If he was after someone because of that, he'd have gone for you or Maria, not me.
But there must have been some reason for his attack on you.
Sure. Someone ordered him to kill me.
Someone ordered him to... But who?
I might have found out, Northrop. You hadn't been so fast on the trigger. You brought the stuff back with you?
Oh, sure, sure. So pay me off and let me get out of here, will you, please? Believe me, I'm a sick man, and the longer I'm here, the sicker I get.
Then you better come along to the clinic, Pagan. I think I've got a cure for what ails you. Well? Going somewhere, Dr. Northrop?
Huh? Oh, it's you, Thurston. Yes, we're leaving. Zellschmidt came back with that speedboat just in time.
The natives?
That is right, Senor. I have learned that they intend to strike here at the clinic just before dawn.
Oh, I wonder how we'll make out.
What do you mean, make out? We will not be here then.
I wouldn't be too sure, Maria. Take a look at Pagan, will you, Northrop?
Zellschmidt? Why, of course.
Hey, why do you want him to look at me for? There's nothing wrong with me that a quick trip to Rio won't fix up.
I'm afraid you're wrong, Zellschmidt.
Huh? You mean I got something?
Smallpox.
Smallpox? Oh, no, no.
That's what I thought. Thought postpones that trip downriver, doesn't it?
Looks like it. I can't risk anyone else being exposed to him. We'll have to stay here until the infectious stage is over.
But we cannot do that, Doctor. The natives...
Sorry, Maria. There's no other answer.
Perhaps there is, Senor Thurston. Allow me to remain here with him while the three of you go downriver.
I didn't know you were such a self-sacrificing creature, Vilas.
I am not. Merely realistic. After all, the responsibility of the plantations and the inhabitants of Belterra is mine.
Suppose we let Maria go and the rest of us stick around. How about it, Maria? Do you know how to run the speedboat?
I am more familiar with administering smallpox vaccines, Senor Thurston. And I believe Dr. Northrop is about to prescribe vaccinations for all of us here. I will stay.
Okay. At least we'll have the satisfaction of knowing that we won't die of smallpox.
No! No! Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me.
Quiet, you idiot. It doesn't hurt.
All right, Vilas, you're next. The rest of us are through.
If you do not mind, I will forego the pleasure.
There's no time to waste joking, Vilas.
He's not joking, Northrop.
What?
You are right, Thurston. As a realistic man, I have a very healthy fear of Bacillus botulinus.
Of course.
Bacillus who?
Botulism. What the baby died of.
Yes, Maria. And what all of you are about to die from very shortly.
What does he mean? What does he mean?
Remember those beakers we saw in the lab, Pagon? With the rabbit's blood, beet broth? Well, our pal Vilas was cultivating death in them. Bacillus botulinus.
The vaccine. We gave it to the baby, and he died of botulism. Vilas must have introduced the culture into all the vaccines.
Sure. He was doing a pretty good job for the cunt that was paying him. Stirring up anti-American feeling. Sabotaging that rubber plant production.
Vilas.
But why did you kill Dr. Maddock? Because he was on to you?
Yes. That is quite right, Thurston. I am certain you will all excuse me now if I leave. I cannot bear the sight of suffering. And they tell me that death from botulism is quite painful. Goodbye, comrades.
Senor Thurston.
Ooh, we're going to die. We're going to die.
Okay, don't relax. You haven't got smallpox. And there's nothing wrong with that vaccine.
Jokes, he crashed at the time like this. No, nothing wrong.
I cooked up the smallpox diagnosis of Northrop just to trap Vilas.
But the vaccine, Senor Thurston.
Fresh, untampered stuff. That's why I sent Pagon to Monte Alegre. He brought it back with him.
It worked out as you figured, Thurston. I'll hand it to you for that. But what about Vilas? He's getting away.
I don't think so, Northrop. I had Luis Mendoza listening at the window. He heard enough to learn the truth. He'll take care of Vilas.
Oh.
You know, Vilas said he was being realistic. But he wasn't. He was living in a bad dream. A nightmare of terror and conquest and murder. The only thing realistic about it...
Mr. Rex.
Yes. Come on, Pedro.
Our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall, will return in just a moment.
Say, Bing, how are you planning to spend Father's Day this Sunday?
Oh, Ken, Father's Day is quite a deal, you know, at the Crosby Menage. I get to sleep as late as I want to. Then the kids bring me a big breakfast in bed, ham and eggs, cereal, waffles, pancakes, sausage.
Then what do you do when you get up?
What else? I wash the dishes.
Well, I know one gift that'll be on that breakfast tray, Bing.
Right you are, Ken, a carton of milder Chesterfields. Folks, we have a fine new Chesterfield gift carton this year, and it's just the thing for Dad on Father's Day. It's got a picture of Godfrey on it and a place to write your greetings. And inside, 200 of those milder Chesterfields. Remember, Chesterfields gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste, and that's the biggest plus in cigarette history.
So drop around your favorite dealers and pick up a gift carton.
Sure, Dad's a great guy, and Chesterfield's a great smoke. It's a natural. For Father's Day and any day, it's Chesterfield.
Now, here again is our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. And my thanks to B. Benaderet, Will Wright, Carlton Young, Harry Bartell, and Byron Kane. Next week, Vienna, where an ex-wrestler, a beautiful girl, and a spot of printer's ink all add up to real trouble for Ken. And, of course, where there's real trouble, there'll always be Leon Velasquez, Pagon Zellschmidt. So join us, won't you, when next I return as the man called X. Good night.
The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, is the Friday night feature on NBC's five-show festival of comedy, music, mystery, and drama, brought to you by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by Chesterfield, always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. The Man Called X is a J. Richard Kennedy production with music by Milton Charles. Tonight's story was written by Sidney Marshall. All characters and incidents on this program are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Be sure to hear The Magnificent Montague with Monty Woolley, formerly heard on Friday, now brought to you as a Saturday night feature on NBC's All-Star Festival. And until next week, same time and station, this is Jack Latham saying goodnight for The Man Called X. William Bendix stars in The Life of Riley. Enjoy it on NBC.
There you go. That's our... Gotta wait for the tone.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, and we may have learned something by listening to that gem. Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Placebo, spelled backwards, is still a fake pill.
There.
Ooh, you
get a
yodel
out
of that one. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not too
shabby. 1950 advertising lets us know that Chesterfield, it's okay to kill your relatives with gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, when I was young, we used to buy my dad a carton of...
Oh, I know, yeah. You know, back in the day, sure, you know.
I can't remember what he smoked.
And
might have been Marlboros.
Yeah. And that was not a cheap gift, either.
No.
But it was about wasn't that much more than a pack of cigarettes today.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to take out a mortgage to get a carton these days.
It's expensive. That's why I had to go generic, kids.
Yeah.
I remember I used to smoke Camels when I was a DJ, and I smoked a lot. When you're in a bar, you tend to smoke a lot.
Uh-huh.
Working. It was a job requirement, just like the alcohol. Anyway, they used to have a premium. They'd save up these little coupons. Well, people in the bar who smoke Camels gave me theirs too, and I got this cool leather jacket. It was like the greatest thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a bomber jacket, you know? It was really, really nice.
Yeah.
And what was really cool is it had a camel sewed on the pocket, but it was brown thread that matched the brown jacket, so it wasn't obtrusive, like, oh, I'm advertising for you. No, it was just a nice, warm, comfortable jacket.
My parents got that. They got Marlboro dollars. And I think around here I have a Marlboro jacket. And they actually saved up. And they had enough Marlboro dollars for a bicycle. They built me. They got me a bicycle for Marlboro. And
we
I almost
smoked
died
for
on
you.
It. Yeah,
we smoked
no,
a lot
I almost
for
died
you.
On. It was the most unusual bike. It had a hinge in the center. She could fold it up, right? But then the other problem was that the handles also had some type of release mechanism on them. So I'm sitting there trying to cross a four-lane highway, and the handles come off, and I'm like, what the hell? I'm here to tell the tale, but my gosh, that was rather bizarre. Well,
closest thing for me to that would be I used to collect those Mallow Cup coins. And send those.
Oh,
over.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah.
On the little cardboard sleeve, they had something on the bottom, right?
You never sent for nothing from Bazooka Joe?
No, I wasn't really a gum person. Yeah.
I got a cheesy chemistry set. I mean, it did some, little stuff. You could change a fluid from clear to red, you know?
Yeah.
Put two clear liquids together, and it turns red.
That's a lot of gum, though, isn't it?
You know, it was gum and money, so you had to send a small amount.
620 sticks of gum.
They probably could have cared less about the gum.
Right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
They had
to get
funny,
a quarter.
Cute little jokes on them. Good old bazooka joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the joke. I did like the jokes, yeah.
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 It was cute.
And then well, another thing that had a toy surprise was Cracker Jack had the toy surprise in it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So kids started eating them instead of the Cracker Jacks. They tried eating the toys. And...
Yeah,
now they have Cracker Jill.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. But also, Tide Pods also offers a small bag of Cracker Jack, and you can decide which you want to eat. You know, it's up to you.
You can eat the Tide Pod or the Cracker Jacks.
Either way. Yeah.
I see.
Probably both have the same nutritional value.
So who's dumber? We got all the we survived drinking out of the hose, out of the garden hose.
Uh-huh.
We survived.
Yeah.
You know, riding our bikes without helmets on cement roads. Cement's a teacher, you know. It teaches you not to fall.
It is a teacher. You'll learn not to do that again, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, climbing trees, what have you. How did we survive all that?
Yeah.
So who's dumber now, the kids today or the parents today? I wonder.
I don't know whether to point to Darwin at this or not. You know, the old Darwin Award, and you know. There's some.
I'm all for the Darwin approach. Let the dumb kid eat the marbles.
Yeah, some organisms are not going to make it. Okay, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, and Mother Nature said you weren't supposed to. So there.
Yeah, you know, it's like little Johnny has a fork and he's near the electrical socket. Well,
you
want to
take
you
want to take your lawn darts and throw them straight up in the air and stare at them?
And
go right ahead, kid. Have a good time.
We survived lawn darts. Well, some of us did.
Yeah.
Some of us survived barely.
We survived metal slinkies. Metal slinkies.
Yeah.
Unless
you threw it at somebody, a slinky was kind of innocuous. No?
It was sharp metal. I mean, if you were aggressive trying to do whatever dumb kids do, like myself.
Oh, yeah.
You
I only got aggressive with a slinky when it wouldn't walk down the stairs. That's the only time I got aggressive with a slinky.
Yeah. You recall the Jack in the Box? Underneath that cloth is a spring and, you know, danger. Yeah, okay, sure. That's just an abominable toy to teach you about fear. Because every time you don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen, and you're going to, you know, jump a little bit.
I don't know. Yeah. Well.
Never realized how scary a Jack in the Box could be, but okay, sure. Blah, blah, why not? Jack in the Box. But yeah, they're just, you know, some organisms aren't going to make it.
Got a lot of radio. We might as well move on to the next one. How about the key next? We'll get lost.
Sure.
Lost in the Amazon is the title.
Yep. Suspense and mystery. And again, a brainchild of famed pulp mystery writer, James Workman. So I don't know what he's famed for, but anyway, there it is. Possibly in Australia.
And this one was originally broadcast, we think.
Yeah, Wednesday. Because it was listed as a Wednesday program. Wednesday, March 7th, 1956.
Why not?
Every door. A key. There's a key to every situation. Behind every unopened door, there is a mystery. And the opening of this door introduces us to another in the series, The Key.
Anyone here? Anyone at home? No one here, Gene. seems clean and neat for the Amazon jungle, doesn't it?
Sure does. There's nobody about all the same. Somebody lives here, all right. Well, might as well make ourselves at home till they turn up. Some water here, want some?
Oh, do you think we ought to?
Amazon hospitality. When you're lost, tired, and thirsty, you don't worry where the water comes from nor who it belongs to.
Thanks. Maybe a planter lives here, or a hunter of some sort?
In a jungle of this sort, you don't have to hunt. Wait around, the animals will come to you. So we'll just sit here and wait. Miles from civilization.
It looks so neat and homely. Wouldn't be surprised if there's a refrigerator, TV, and the milk delivered every morning.
Well, whoever it is, he'll have heard of the McKinley expedition to be able to guide us back. I'm a university professor. Leave this sort of stuff to Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett never got lost in the Amazon jungle. If he had, he'd have thought twice about wearing that coonskin hat of his. Whew. The heat.
Notice something?
No. You need a shave.
The water. It's ice cold. Maybe you were right about that refrigerator. You know, there's something screwy about all this. Neat and tidy, so it can't be an Indian. They've been with the McKinley expedition 3 months now, but we haven't heard of any white men around these parts. How did this place get here? Grow overnight?
Maybe a film set for an epic. 2,000 miles up the Amazon in Technicolor. Or headhunters I have known.
They'd need to. Uh-oh. Somebody coming.
Hey, what are you doing here? How did you get here?
Well, you see, it was like this. My wife and I were with the McKinley expedition. Birds and butterflies, things like that in the upper reaches of the Amazon. Well, we got lost. You know how it is. Miss Camp and found ourselves in a walking tour. Good luck would have it we happened to hit here.
Good luck.
Well, you don't mind us arriving here. After all, it probably saved our lives.
Well, you better go again. It's not safe around here.
Not safe?
Indians. We've had a lot of trouble with the Indians.
We haven't. And our camp can't be so far from here.
We only walked an hour or two.
Yeah. We're not explorers. We don't take naturally to this sort of thing. Well, if you could tell us what direction our camp's in.
You better wait. Wait.
But you just said it was...
Wait till my friend gets back. He's used to this jungle. He'll tell me, you, what to do.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Mr.
Braisley. Name's Braisley. Well, won't you sit down?
Thanks.
Oh, thanks.
Quite a setup you have here. We didn't know any white people were around here. You live alone, don't you?
Yeah. You get here by yourself, did you? I mean, the people with you, they don't know where you've gone?
No. Saw a butterfly we hadn't seen before, and we gave chase. Well, you know the excitement of the hunt. Next thing, we look around, and powie, lost.
We didn't even have a gun, so we couldn't let off a shot for them to come and find us. I wanted to stay where we were, but John said walk. So we walked. So we're here.
Yeah. My friend should be here any moment.
You're a planter, hunter, explorer, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that sort of thing. And maybe I better fix you a drink. We've got...
callers.
You stay here. No matter what happens, you stay here.
Sure, sure.
I'm going in back of the house. If either of you follow me in through that door, you'll have your head shot off. Get me? Shut up! I'm not fooling.
Whatever you say.
I'll be back. And when I get back, you'll be here. Understand?
Wow.
Well, well. Cheerful customer. Of course, after he said that, there's only one thing to do.
John, don't you dare go near that door.
I've got to find out. Maybe he's from Mars and he'll be sitting on a couple of flying saucers in there.
He who laughed last laughs on the other side of his face.
I laugh all over. And right now I'm not laughing particularly. Threats get me riled.
Of course you can't help wondering. Can you?
That's my girl. Now let's see. Maybe if I get up to the door, I could get me a look through the keyhole. If he comes back, I'll be... Tying my shoelace, Mr. Brazely. Just tying my shoelace. That's fine. I can understand how difficult it must be for you.
Difficult?
You're wearing riding boots, and they don't lace up.
No wonder I couldn't find them. Now, look, Mr. Brazely, this is a friendly visit.
Friends don't do what they're told not to do. Sit down. And you.
Look here, Brazely, this is a
prison in America. In the Amazon jungle, the man with the gun's the boss. Sit down.
I'm not going to...
John, sit down.
Two against one. That rules me out. What now, Brazely? Do we all sit staring at that gun?
Yep. Any movement, and the gun will go off. You know, there's no questions asked in the Amazon. Man, that jungle buries so fast. I shoot you, the both of you, and all I gotta do is leave your bodies outside. 3-4 minutes, not a trace. Not a single trace. Ah, friend's coming now. He'll know what to do with you.
If it's all the same to you, we can take a walk. We got lust coming here. We'll lose ourselves going back even faster.
You'll stay here. You won't walk anyplace. Wouldn't be surprised if you never did get back.
What's going on here? We didn't get here on purpose. Hey, that's a helicopter. Hey, Gene, that's a helicopter landing outside.
Stay where you are. Sit down.
What's the helicopter doing here?
You'll find out. At least I don't think you will. Not when my friend's got through with you. He's the one who gives the orders. If he says shoot you, I shoot.
Nice playmates. Nice friends. Get lost and what happens?
Get shot.
Ah, you're bluffing.
Yeah, that captain paid up a bit, you won't... Hello. What have we got here, Brazy?
I'm glad you got back, Mr. Carlton. Not only has the launching buzzer gone, but these two birds have called in as well.
Called in?
Seems they're lost. Seems there's some sort of exploration over the ways. Seems they got here by mistake. Lost.
How long ago did the buzzer sound?
2-3 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, that gives us time to settle these two first. So, you're lost, eh?
See here, I don't know who you stand over types are, but I'm not being pushed around by anybody. You may be have the upper hand now, but right soon the McKinley boys are coming looking for us. And if you're thinking of letting that gun off, a shot will only bring them quicker, that's all.
So, that's the outfit I saw, huh? McKinley. Yeah, heard about you. Didn't know you were around these parts, though.
You know now.
Sure. There's a hill between you and your friends and us. You must have walked right around it. Shots don't carry round hills. And as for them coming looking for you, I never yet met a white man could track through this jungle. So sort of puts you out on a limb.
Yeah, I didn't quite know what to do with them, Mr. Calton. I guess they got in when I was in the back room. Buzzer went off, and when I came back, they were sneaking up, so I drew my gun. Held them till you came.
Right. Only one thing to do with them. Get rid of them, but fast.
Yeah, I thought that'd be it.
Yeah, but not too fast, Brazely. We've got to consider these things. Now, being alone here, it gets lonesome. Female company might be just what we need.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
Nice girl. Friendly.
I shouldn't be surprised.
You lay off, you lay off. Mister, shooting to me is no more than swatting flies. And hot-headed fools, them I shoot easiest of all.
You're going to be shot anyway. If you want to make it now, come on. No? Look, Bracey, I don't want to make it worse for him than need be. After all, he's not an animal. Go stand in the doorway, mister, looking out. Make it in the back. Easiest for all that way.
Start, mister. Bluff never did worry me. You've got the gun. You've got me wide open. Go ahead. Shoot.
Outside, you.
No, sorry.
Try shooting the girl instead, Brazely. Expect they fight like cat and dog, but harm comes to his wife and he'll do the noble act. Go on, Brazely. Shoot the girl.
No. Okay. But I still think you're bluffing.
John.
Bluffing, Jean. Maybe they found gold, something like that. But that won't make them go as far as shooting. Not actual shooting.
Well, game of poker, huh? With all the bluffing, if it is bluff, on our side. Go stand in the doorway, mister, and we'll see. Go on. Open it, mister. The idea is you die outside, not in. Go on, Brinkley. Blast him out of that door with your bluff.
Another rough adventure going on here on Erie House Radio with the key. Lost in the Amazon.
Yeah, blast him. Take him out and blast him.
Blast him good.
So it's kind of like, it kind of starts off like Hansel and Gretel. Two people show up at a house that isn't there and they break in.
Yep.
And then they help themselves to everything that's there, and then they might or might not get shot. Who knew? There's a Darwin aspect
to
this.
Yep. Yeah. Who knew the witch would throw us in the oven? And that she looked like Debbie. And that she looked like Debbie Harry.
There you go.
I missed that one.
That's Tales from the Dark Side. It wasn't really Hansel and Gretel, but Debbie Harry was a witch that had a little boy in a cage, and he was telling the story. See.
Okay.
Wasn't that the Tales from the Dark Side movie, I believe?
Was that the movie or the episode? I think it was the
movie.
Episode.
No, I think it was the movie.
Okay.
Debbie Harry, I don't think, was in the episode, but or any episodes, a TV show, but I think she was in the movie version.
Yeah.
In the wraparound story, you know?
Debbie Harry could definitely be a siren type of character. I don't think too many men would stray from her.
Well, unusually, they had her dressed as like a housewife.
Oh, okay.
Sort, you know, or homemaker
still,
in any event.
Yeah, still very attractive person.
And then the little boy in the cage kept reading these stories to keep her occupied.
Let me tell you another story before you come.
Smart kid.
Yeah, before you eat me. Here's another interesting
tale. I'll agree somewhat, Dave. But then again, he wasn't smart enough not to get caught and thrown into a cage.
That's what he gets for eating the shingles, anyway.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we were running short on time. So am I, in particular.
Okay.
Let's
back to it.
Back to the key.
And let's wrap up the key lost in the Amazon. Part two.
Go on.
Yeah, sure.
Mr. Brainsley.
Huh? What is it?
Don't bother shooting him. Get to know me better.
Huh?
I'm quite a girl. Run for it, John! Run!
Come back here! You come back! What? Get him, Paisley!
What hit me?
Give me that gun! Give it to me!
Huh? Over here.
Come back here, you! Come back! Fool, Brazley, you big fool.
She hit me. Well, something hit me. Hey, did you get him?
I got clean away, thanks to you.
Oh, we still got the girl.
Got the girl? What's the use of the girl with him getting away?
Oh, I don't know. It hurts worse than an earthquake.
You're about as useful as rats under the house.
Well, I didn't know she was going to slug me. Boy, am I going to do some slugging back. Give me that gun, Mr. Callison. She's going to be awful sorry.
Wake up to yourself, Brazy. He's out there in the jungle. Sooner or later, he's going to contact his party. That means they come back here.
Oh, yeah. So it does.
It'll be bad enough them coming here, let alone finding the woman killed.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it.
We'd be in enough trouble without having murder on our hands.
Well, we can't let her go now, not knowing what she does. Oh, if you hadn't wasted so much time getting to the door, he wouldn't have got away.
I'm the boss, Brazley. Orders and beefs come strictly from me.
Yes, Mr. Callison.
I say, you do.
Yes, Mr. Callison.
Now, he's lost. But that doesn't mean he hasn't got a chance of getting back to his base. It'll take an hour and a half maybe. Walking straight there, allowing for losing his way, say another half hour. That's 2 hours. 2 hours there, one back. 3 hours. And we've got an hour 50 to do our job and get. Give us an hour at least. An hour's lead should be enough.
Yeah. An hour 50 till it gets here, but what we got to do will take 2 days.
Yeah. Maybe he won't make it, but we can take the risk. Looks like you could still be a hostage, lady.
In 2 days, going fast, they could get the police.
The copter. Oh, how dumb can you get? Here's the gun, Brazy. I've got another in the copter. Hold her. Don't let her out of your sight. Keep her covered and shoot if you have to. I hope it's not too dark to spot him. I'll pick him up and pick him off from the copter in no time. Seems like all our troubles are over.
I hope so. Seems I'm the man calling the tune again, lady. Seems you'll have to be nice to me. Nothing to say, huh? Oh, well, you'll do plenty of yelling in a bit. The dame who knocks me around with a vase is asking for plenty of trouble. It's getting dark inside here. I guess the oil lamp needs fixing. Not that I hold it against you. That's pretty smart. Not quite smart enough. I like my women with a bit of fight in them. Oh, now Mr. Calderton's out of the way and your husband's out of the way. Just you and me. So you be good and do as you're told. Well, I'll do more than smash a vase over your head. What's that?
Who's that outside?
Calling your bluff again, Brazley.
You again?
Yeah. Coming out to get me?
Quick, dot that lamp.
You do your own dirty.
So help me, you don't blow that lamp out, I'll blow you out. Don't waste time turning it down. Pick it up and blow over the top of the glass funnel. That's better.
Coming out to get me, Brazley.
Quiet now. I'll get him as he comes to the door. Hey, what are you doing? What?
John!
I'm coming, Jean.
What happened? I heard it crashing. You all right?
He gave me the lamp. He said pick it up. So I picked it up. And I hit him over the head with it.
Nice work, kid. You'll do. All right?
I think so.
Fine. Look, I'll have to tie this guy up and then I'll attend to you. Rope. Wire. That'll do fine. That coil over there. Wire. Wonder what copper wire's doing here.
Here you are.
Thanks. Saw a Kellerton taking off in his copter. Going looking for me, I suppose. Yeah. As soon as this character's trussed up, we go see what's in that back room. Funniest setup here. Okay, honey. We'll soon be out of here. Yeah. Crude, but if he struggles, he'll cut his wrists and legs to ribbon. So I guess he won't. Help yourself to his gun and all set.
Come on. We'll take ourselves a look.
What if the other man comes back?
Copters aren't exactly quiet. We'll hear him. Come on. Well, what sort of a setup do you reckon this is?
Like radio. A bit like a radio station or something.
I'll say. Expensive equipment. Whoever brought this all the way here did so for a pretty important reason.
Talking to somebody over a distance?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Those men, when you'd gone, they were talking something about it getting here in an hour and 50 minutes.
That's so. Now, I wonder what it could be. Could be anything. Can't see a microphone.
There's a sort of TV screen over here.
So there is. Oh, it isn't TV, it's radar. Working, but it doesn't seem to be picking anything up. Craziest joint I ever saw. No good wasting time here. Not being scientific, it doesn't mean a thing. We'll get back to the other room. Hide our friend and await developments.
I've had enough developments. Can't we go back to our camp?
How can we? We don't know the way.
We've got the revolver now, and we know there's a hill in the way. If we walk over the hill firing the revolver every now and then, they're bound to hear us.
Look, Jean, we don't know what's going on here, but it must be pretty important. It's our duty to find out, sort of.
Oh, men always hide behind duty. All they mean is they're boys at heart and can't resist.
Shh. Copter's coming in. No time to hide, Brazely. The room's dark, but there's still some light outside. Where's the jump, Kellett? You get over there in that corner and keep quiet. I'll hide up behind the door. Can't know I'm back. Surprise on our side anyway. And a gun. Come on, Kellett. Come on in and see what Santa Claus has got for you.
You be careful. I haven't got another lamp to break over his head.
I'll be careful. He's coming.
Brazely?
Brazely doesn't live here anymore.
You
recognize me in one. And while you're dithering, see if you can touch the ceiling. That's a good boy. Why, honey? I've got another pig to truss up.
It's the funniest thing. I've got the wildest desire to tickle him.
Playing with dangerous animals isn't fun. Ah, thanks. Hands behind your back, Mr. Kellett. Hold the gun, Jean. Now, while we're about it, Kellett, you might as well tell us what gives around this direction. What's the game? What's arriving here in 1 hour 50? Or less now, about 1 hour 30. Okay. Okay, you don't have to talk unless you want to. I tell you what, though. We'll all stay here until whatever it is does arrive. Make yourself comfortable. Have a chair. Well, settle down, Jean. Looks like we've got quite a wait in front of us. To talk, Mr. Kellett? All right. All right. We're in no hurry. By my watch, I make it 4 minutes. What's the matter, Mr. Kellett? If you don't mind my saying so, you look a little pale around the gills. Kind of nervous.
Yeah. We better get out of here. We better all get out of here.
Sure, sure. I'd like to. But why? What's going to happen?
The whole place is going up. That's what.
Interesting.
I've got a feeling he knows what he's talking about, John. I think we'd better go.
Sure, Jean. As soon as he tells us what is going to happen.
Look, something's going to happen. Isn't that enough? Going to happen pretty soon. Let me get out of this dump.
Glad to. All you've got to do is tell us what exactly you do expect. Not much time left.
I tell you, unless we get out fast, we'll all be blown sky high.
He's telling the truth, John. Hadn't we better go?
Sure, honey. You go. Mr. Kellett and I will stay here until he decides to talk.
Oh, it's a rocket. Rockets in back there. There's a remote control radio. Pretty powerful. The Army launched a rocket from Florida. We picked up the controlling wavelength from here. That rocket, instead of going back to its base when it should, will come straight on here.
It's riding down a radio beam directed from here. Unless it's controlled, this is where it'll end.
You mean you're trying to swipe an American rocket?
Trying, we have. Warhead and the lot. If it hits here, your next stop is a billion miles away, and you arrive in pieces. There it is. That's it. In the other room, a lever. Doesn't matter which way you pull it, so long as you do. Quick,
fast as ever was.
Lever? Which lever? Where?
By the radar screen. Quick, man.
Got it.
Boy, things happen too fast for me around here. Come on, honey.
Where are we going?
Doesn't matter, so long as it's away from here. Come on, Kellerton. You too, Brazely. On your feet. Wow. And to think that might have been us instead of jungle. Get moving, you two. Outside. And no breaking away. Go on. Gee. When we open this door, it was to ask our way. From now on, I find a locked door, I leave it locked. I'm not curious about anything anymore. Well, you two, either you find our camp or we all starve. As for this place, I'll take the key. But somebody else can do the unlocking.
I guess that's it for this episode of the
door finishes a story.
Next week, another key will open another door to another story. Mystery. Romance. Or adventure. All start when a door is unlocked by the key.
Yes, another key feature here at Erie House Radio.
Woohoo!
That was a spot for the boinger. Anyway, did we actually figure out what we could do for a moral for this girl?
We did.
Okay. So in that case... And now we present... A Gunner's moral of the story.
Gotten so used to me not being there. Anytime you hear explosions, make like a fowl and duck. There you go. Holy guacamole. That was a
well,
loud
that fit right in. Well, that fit right in with the story, though, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I think it did. Yeah.
I'll agree. I agree.
Well, Dale did have to leave us here, at least temporarily, if not for the rest of the night. We'll be back next week, knowing as Dale is. And so perhaps, you know, since we only we'll have a few minutes extra afterwards, I think this was probably, of the three, the most intriguing story of the three coming up on midnight.
Yes. Yeah, the first one, the man called X, it ended open. There was a gunshot. We don't know who was shot. We don't know what happened. They were like, come on, Pedro, let's go. And I was like, what?
For a while I thought I was listening to the Cisco Kid there, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, Pancho, all of these go.
Yeah, it was somebody. Pancho, Pedro, hey, somebody. Did you hit somebody or shoot a somebody?
When I think of the Midnight Radio series, I think of nothing but Spurdvac. I don't know about you, but Spurdvac is what I think of.
Is that a vacuum cleaner from the 1950s? What is Spurdvac?
It's the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Radio Drama, Variety, Adventure, and Comedy. Spurdvac.
You got a license to say that?
Well, I don't know. Let me pull over and see my license here. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah, yeah. It's right next to your Bazooka Joe card. Yeah. It'll be right there.
It was a group of radio enthusiasts who made these 13 episodes in 1982, ran from July 13th, September 28th of that year. It was, I'm looking here, I don't know where it was aired, but obviously it aired somewhere. Because that was 82, there wasn't a whole lot of internet broadcasting going on at that time.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was broadcast in New Guinea, New Mexico.
Okay, well, there's not a lot of radio stations there either, so, you know, maybe it was shortwave. You never know.
Maybe. We don't know. We're not there. We don't have a take-me-back computer, so I don't know. Wayback machine, that's it, yeah.
So, anyway, with that, I think we should get part one of Tolik's Tomb from Midnight.
Yep.
And the air date is, my friend?
Tuesday, October 5th, 1982. Oh,
why not?
Why not? Sure. Toltecs, go get them. Jiggy, jiggy.
The sunlight sets. The darkness deepens. And the world awaits midnight. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm your host, Graves, here to lead you through the webs of mystery and terror we call midnight. You may not realize it, but we've met before. Oh, yes, many times. I'm the one who invades your nightmares and wakes you up screaming. I'm the voice who calls your name, and when you turn around, I'm not there. And when you have that uncanny feeling that you're being watched, but don't see anyone, that's me. Yes, we've spent a lot of time together, and I'm going to be with you a lot more. Whenever you're startled, scared, or just uneasy, that's when you'll find your old friend, Graves. But I'm saving the best for last. Yes, I've got a biggie plan for you. When would it be? Let's let it be a surprise. Meanwhile, we'll meet here every week to enjoy a bit of macabre mystery called Midnight. Who knows? Maybe one of these weeks, I'll let you in on my plans for you. But then again, maybe not. But can you afford to miss a single week? I don't think so. But now, let's get on to tonight's story. Tonight, we visit our neighbor to the south, but not the tourist spots. We're going into the jungles of central Mexico on an archaeological expedition to the last unexplored temple of the ancient Toltecs. And what will we dig up? You'll see. Here's the first act of Toltec's Tomb.
Will this never end?
Excuse me?
I said, will this incessant scratching at the earth never end? When will we explore the inside of the temple?
Señor Hernandez, archaeology is a science of slow, painstaking discovery. Didn't your government advise you?
Dr. Maxwell, my government told me to accompany your party into the interior and supervise the excavation of this temple. They did not inform me that it would take so long to dig up some old Indians' pots and pans.
You should be pleased we're being so careful. You're here to make sure nothing we discover is damaged or removed from your country.
Yes, but...
Plus the fact that it is we who are doing the physical work, yet you will no doubt be praised by your government.
That is untrue, Dr. Brown. I ask for nothing from this miserable 3 months. I only do my job...
All right. Let's not get into another argument. We still have months to spend together. We might as well tolerate each other.
Very well.
Dr. Maxwell!
What is it, Richard?
I found another cylinder.
Bring it over, will you?
That makes 8 altogether.
Yes, 1 at each of the digs, 100 meters apart.
They seem to be forming a ring around the temple. Have you noticed?
Is that significant, Professor?
It might have something to do with the Toltecs' method of agriculture or their creation of the ancient calendar.
Is that all?
Why? What more would you want them to be?
Nothing.
Here it is, Doctor.
Yes, it's almost an exact duplicate of the others. It's light, hollow, about 40 centimeters high, closed at both ends, and with those curious markings around the outside.
The ancient symbols?
Yes. They seem to be characters from the Toltec alphabet. But they don't form any recognizable words. Even reading around the cylinders backwards or up and down means nothing.
Well, just another curiosity, eh, Hernandez?
Eh? What did you say?
I said, just another curiosity. If you weren't so intent on trying to read those markings, you'd have heard me.
Now. Richard, we found a cylinder in each of the digs. Why don't you and Caroline move on to the next one and see if the pattern holds?
Yes, sir.
Playing Cupid again, Doctor?
Me? If my daughter takes a liking to young Stephen, that's her decision.
Yet you do put them to work together often.
Let's say I think young people enjoy the company of other young people more than us oldsters.
Enough of this drivel. When are we going to discover something of interest?
You don't find the cylinders interesting, Hernandez.
Worthless trinkets. They tell us nothing.
What did you hope they would tell us?
I don't know. That is your concern. But let us continue. Perhaps something fruitful will come of the day's work yet.
Caroline.
Over here, Richard.
Your father wants us to move to the next site.
Oh, all right. I think Talon is over there now. Oh, watch the outcropping there.
All right. Here, give me your hand.
Why, Richard Stevens, is that a proposal?
Could be, if last night is a sample of things to come.
It was nice, wasn't it?
I'm beginning to look forward to nights with you more than days with your father.
I should hope so.
You know what I mean.
I think I do. And I feel the same way. We're supposed to be working. Come on, let's find Talon.
Where did you leave him?
Staking out the new dig. He's not much help beyond little jobs like that.
Well, once he guided us into this jungle, there's not much for him to do until we want out again.
He certainly has it easy.
Well, at least he helps a little. Hernandez doesn't do anything but sit in that chair all day long and grouse.
I can't understand his uneasiness.
He's a bureaucrat.
Yet he seems so genuinely angry that we haven't found more. And Talon seems upset that we found so much.
He mentioned that to me. He isn't very happy that foreigners are ravaging the tombs of his ancestors.
But Hernandez is here to make sure whatever we find remains the property of the Mexican government.
I think Talon would like it left buried right where it is.
Oh, there he is now. Talon! Talon!
Si, senorita. I have put the stakes around the hole, like you say.
Dig, Talon.
Huh?
Dig. Archaeologists call it a dig, not a hole.
That makes it more than a hole.
Enough for technical jargon, Richard.
Yeah. Well, let's get to work.
Ready in a little while. Nothing like a good meal after a hard day's work.
You call this a good meal? Food from cans, only slightly warm?
That's what we eat most of the time on an expedition, Hernandez. You'll never make a dedicated archaeologist.
I do not intend to.
That's good.
You insult me again, Senor Brown. I do not have to take these from you.
And just what do you intend to do about it?
That's enough. I want this bickering to stop. You go on taunting each other, and we'll never get anything done.
Another insult, and I am not responsible for your safety anymore.
As if you ever were.
Dr. Maxwell, Dr. Brown.
What is it?
Caroline and I have discovered something. Come look.
What have you found?
Well, we were in the tent examining the cylinders, trying to decipher the markings.
You examined them without my permission?
We didn't do any harm, just looking at them. We lined them up on the shelf there.
I noticed that a couple of them, sitting side by side, formed ancient Toltec words if the characters were read across both cylinders.
We moved them around, forming different combinations. Let me see. Yes, it does form phrases in the Toltec language. There are a few strange words here, but I think I can decipher it. In this temple lies the treasure of the Toltecs, sent with our kings to the... I guess that word means heaven. For sacrifice to the god of the sun. The rest seems to be a description of how to get to the treasure room.
The treasure of the Toltecs.
What does that mean?
There is a legend. In the 12th century, the Aztecs swept out of the north to subjugate the Toltec Empire. The king of the Toltecs was killed in battle. His body was carried to the tribe's hidden burial tomb for proper funeral before the Aztecs could defile the temple.
But what's that about a treasure?
It was part of the Toltecs' religious custom to send the spirit of a king to heaven with enough riches to buy favor from their god of the sun. The legend has it that since the Toltecs knew their empire was about to be crushed, they put the tribe's entire fortune in the burial temple to preserve their wealth for use in the afterlife.
Was it ever found?
Most historians agree the legend is a myth.
Yet these cylinders are proof that this is the lost temple, and they show where the treasure lies.
Why so excited, Hernandez? Does the prospect of treasure suddenly make our dig more interesting?
Certainly not. I mean, the idea of a major discovery is exciting. From an official standpoint, of course.
Of course.
Senores, there is something more you should know.
What's that, Tolan?
There is more to the legend. They say the spirit of the god Kukulkan watches over the wealth of the Toltecs, and there is a curse.
Oh, Tolan, surely you don't believe that.
I know only what is legend, senorita.
What is the curse, Tolan?
It is stated... He who seeks the treasure of the Toltecs has death at his shoulder.
Nonsense.
Perhaps not. Most myths have their basis in some sort of fact. Curses may too.
Well, are we going to search for the treasure?
No.
What?
No one is to set foot in that temple until I say so. I must report to my government.
But that could take days.
You may continue to excavate outside the ruins. But no one may enter until I return from the capital.
Now, see here, Hernandez. You have no right to keep us from...
I have every right, Senor Brown.
He's right, Brown. Since we are here by permission of his government, he has the right...
This is preposterous!
Nevertheless, Senor Brown, none of you may enter the temple until I return. I shall leave in the morning.
Professor.
Oh, hello, Brown. Just finishing off my pipe before turning in.
Professor, I thought I should tell you,
Well?
Well, I don't want to sound like a schoolboy tattling. You know Hernandez and I don't get along.
Yes?
But I was walking by the artifacts tent a few minutes ago and happened to see him in there, writing.
Oh?
He seemed to be copying the designs off the cylinders.
Interesting. Of course, it won't do him much good. They're all in ancient Toltec.
Yes, I thought that, but the directions into the temple's treasure room are part of the design. Couldn't he figure out how to get in there?
Possibly. Even if he doesn't, I think he bears watching a little more closely. Well, I guess I'll turn in. How about you?
Yes, it's been a hard day.
But a productive one. Have you seen Richard and Caroline?
Well, I think I saw them taking a walk just outside the camp.
Well, I suspect they'll be in soon. Shall we go?
Professor, do you think Hernandez will try to get the treasure, if there is one?
He might, later on. But he'd be a fool to try it tonight, in the dark.
Okay, that's it. part one of Midnight and the Tomb, the Toltecs. The toilet, the Toltec tomb. You know, I just think about when they were
talking. The Toltecs to the tomb, yeah.
I just had something that hit me when we were looking at the, early on when they were smooching around the crypt. It reminded me of this little song, Gar, I'd like to share.
I went away to Egypt to work there for a while, and fell in love with Terah, the flower of the Nile. I had to make some money so she and I could wed, and so I got a job there working on a pyramid. The Pharaoh of all Egypt, a crummy little creep, would come out almost every day inspecting in his jeep. He had a big fat stomach, a little pointed head, and everyone that saw him thought he was already dead. And then one day it happened, the Pharaoh of Egypt came out to see how we were doing on his creepy crypt. He took one look at Terah, and him she did beguile. The next thing that I knew, he took her sailing down the Nile. So I crept into the Pharaoh's crypt, and cried all alone there in that creepy crypt. I cried. I saw him sail away from me, my Terah at his side, and so I crept into the crypt and cried. The rest of my sad story is hard for me to tell. They had a royal wedding and they rang the wedding bell. I watched until she promised to be his faithful bride, and when she said I do, I crept into the crypt and cried. Yes, I crept into the Pharaoh's crypt and cried all alone there in that creepy crypt. I cried. I lost my little flower and my tears I could not hide, and so I crept into the crypt and cried. There in that creepy crypt I cried. All alone I crept into the crypt and cried. Yes, I crept into the crypt and cried.
Of course, that was an Egyptian crypt, but they're very similar. Very similar.
That's definitely a good jump-off point, because from something like that, you can understand all the opportunities that we have from, what would that be called? Contemporary music, where it's novelty-based and what they're based on. We have novelty songs about Egypt. We got surferbilly, rockabilly, stuff that's about horror, all kinds of novelty stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go in and finish this. We'll still have a couple minutes left for shameless promotion. Let's go ahead and finish up. Toltec's
All right.
Tomb from Midnight.
Richard, do you believe in that legend?
I don't know. But I'll tell you what I do believe in.
What?
Us.
Oh, Richard.
Wait. What's that?
Where?
Over there, going up the steps of the temple.
It looks like a man.
It's Hernandez. He's going after the treasure.
How do you know?
It's got to be. I haven't trusted him since he joined us. Come on.
Where?
After him, of course. We'll catch him at it.
Richard, wait. As the government's representative, he has the right to go into that temple. If we go after him, he can use it as an excuse to end our expedition.
But we can't let him get away with the treasure.
There may not be any. Besides, where could he go tonight? Come on, let's tell Father about it. He'll know what to do.
What's up with you two?
We just saw Hernandez entering the temple.
He's going after the treasure.
Is he now?
He must be.
You don't seem very upset.
I'm not.
Why?
Hernandez is an opportunist. Dr. Brown and I suspected that from the beginning. But he won't get any of the treasure, if there is one.
Why not?
Because even if he could find his way out of this jungle without Tolan's guidance, he'd have a tough time explaining how he came to have artifacts without us corroborating his story.
But I...
And... I took the precaution of removing the distributor wires from the Jeep tonight.
The fools! Do they think I'm going to let them get away with any treasure? Or that I'd let it get swallowed up in some government reform project. I'll have it all for myself, even if I have to put them all out of the way. This should be it. Through this doorway and... Who are you? What are you? Stay away from me. Don't come near me. Don't! No! 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 Senor Maxwell.
What's that? Oh, good morning, Tulan. Coffee?
Senor Maxwell, it is Senor Hernandez.
What about Hernandez?
He is not in the tent. His cot has not been slept in.
Yes, he did try to leave last night.
He didn't use the jeeps. They're still right where they were last night.
Then he must still be in the temple.
In the temple?
What's that?
Well, Caroline and I saw Hernandez go into the temple last night after dark. And now he's missing.
Missing, is he? Good riddance.
Shouldn't we go look for him?
Why bother?
Well, we can search the surrounding jungle. But if he's in the temple, we can't go looking for him. He ordered us not to set foot in there.
But if he's gone in...
No, my boy. We'll give him the rest of the day to reappear. If he doesn't, we'll go into the city and report his disappearance. Until then, we'll continue our digging outside the ruins.
But if I could just...
Outside, Richard! I forbid you to enter that temple alone!
Leave a trail.
Where?
Into the temple, of course.
Richard, you're not going to...
Shh! Of course.
Father forbid you to go in there alone.
That's why I'm taking you with me.
Oh, no, you're not.
Caroline, look. If Hernandez is still in there, he's either hurt or he's stealing the treasure. Either way, we've got to find him.
And if he isn't still in there?
Then nobody will ever know we went in. Besides, I'm sure he's after the treasure.
If there is a treasure...
Come on. The place isn't very big. We'll be out in 20 minutes. Your father and Brown will never miss us.
Well, all right. But only 20 minutes.
That's the stuff. Come on.
There's more room down here than you'd think.
Yeah. Most of it must be underground outside the main perimeter of the temple.
Are you sure we're not going in circles?
If we were, we'd have crossed over the stream you're letting out.
How's the candle holding out?
Still plenty.
It sure is dark and creepy in here.
That's not a very scientific statement.
Sorry. How do you know we're going the right way?
From what I remember of the directions on the cylinders. And I can see Hernandez's footprints in the dust every so often. Look!
What?
Up ahead, a doorway. Not just an archway, a door.
It's partly open.
Keep quiet. Maybe Hernandez is in there.
Can you open it?
I can try. It's easy. Balance very carefully.
Richard, look!
My God. Jewels. Gold.
An ancient artifact.
The legend is true. It's the treasure of the entire Toltec Empire.
Oh, Richard, don't. Leave it alone.
But have you ever seen so many jewels?
Richard, put it down.
She speaks wisely, senor.
Oh, Tolan, you frightened us.
Oh, Tolan, how did you get in here? Where'd you get that feather costume?
It is ancient. Left here for the generations of high Toltec priests.
Huh?
A young Tolan, descended from Topiltzin, ancient high priest of the god Kukulkan. I watch over the treasure of the Toltecs and deal with those who defile the temple.
Then Hernandez was here.
The man Hernandez entered the sacred passageways in the night to rob the Toltecs of their wealth. He did not succeed.
But where is he?
Come.
Another room.
This is the chamber of sacrifice. The altars on which those who defile the temple are made to pay for their sacrilege.
Oh, Richard, look.
Hernandez, pinned to the wall up there.
Oh, but he looks ancient.
He has paid the price of sacrilege. Now he joins the living dead. He shall hang there for eternity. Not dead, not alive.
Oh, it's horrible.
He paid, as you shall pay.
What? We didn't take anything?
You have seen the sacred treasure, and you would tell others of its existence. They would pillage our last resting place, just as thousands ravaged our empire in eras past.
We wouldn't tell anyone.
You can't do this.
I shall not. The servants of Kukulkan shall see to it.
Oh, Richard, Hernandez just fell down from the wall. Oh, he's coming toward us with stone spikes.
Stop this, Tolan.
I follow commandments more ancient than yours, senor.
Richard, stop that grisly thing.
He who sees the treasure of the Toltecs has death at his shoulder. He who sees
Hernandez,
the treasure of
put down those spikes.
Has death at his
he
shoulder.
He doesn't hear you.
He
stop him. Throw something at him.
What?
Anything, that gold statuette.
It didn't.
Just broke off a chunk of his flesh.
Please don't stop me.
Run.
We'll get lost.
Follow the strip.
Richard, the ceiling. They seem lower.
Huh?
The passageways are nearer.
That's crazy.
Look. Up ahead, the walls are closing in.
Hurry. Can't get through.
What do we do now?
I don't know.
He who seeks the treasure of the Toltec has death at his shoulder.
Look, Hernandez is coming.
Stop it.
Look out.
Are you sure they came this way?
Possibly. I'm just following that stream.
Why would they have done such a thing?
No accounting for the brashness of youth, Brown.
Look up ahead. A door.
Come on.
Looks like there was a treasure here once.
But it's long gone.
Obviously ransacked by marauders centuries ago.
Well, looks like a burial chamber over here, Doctor.
Yes. Decaying corpses perched on that altar.
Look at this.
What?
The faces on these two corpses there. Well, they're so old and decomposed, it's hard to imagine what they originally looked like, but they seem to have been quite young, in their 20s, perhaps. A boy and a girl.
Notice something peculiar, Brown.
What?
The way the bodies are mounted on the altarpiece.
Oh, yes. I can't say I've ever seen anything quite like that before.
Interesting. Huge stone spikes driven through their shoulders. Well, come on, Brown. Let's keep looking. Caroline and Richard must be in here somewhere.
Like Richard and Caroline finally made it to the altar after all. And they'll be spending a long time hanging around together. But that's what happens when you get too deep into your work. Toltec Toon was written and directed by Roger Rittner. Featured in the cast were James McAfee, Barbara Trebold, Arthur Dutch, Michael Collins, and Leonard Sloan. Also heard were William Irwin and Bob Farley. Sound effects by David Surtees with Mark Trellis. Production assistance by Captain Arms and Bonna Newman. Midnight is a Roger Rittner radio production. Now, till we meet again, this is your host, Graves, reminding you that wherever you are, it may not be midnight now, but it soon will be.
It's always midnight somewhere, right?
It's always midnight somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Hit the right button. As always, once again, another great moral of the story from Gar.
Woohoo! When defiling ancient Toltec tombs, you don't have to bring both parents. But you should bring your mummy.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
About to speak.
About to speak. Yes, there we go.
I think they just did.
Tomorrow night on Erie House Radio, we return to another CBS Radio Mystery Theater as we have a program from the Amazon. Again, about an Amazon. Well, it's not necessarily, no, it's not a tomb, but it is about down in the Amazon. So we'll go
there. It is
there.
Amazon in the title.
Yes, something like that. Anyway, we do have, after we go on at 6:30 and finish at 8 o'clock, I think something in particular happens at 8 o'clock.
Yes, it will be kind of the first little taste of Christmas at Horrible Horror. We got a few little tricks up our sleeve. We'll find it. That's over on Twitch at 8 p.m. It's Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul. Blah, blah.
And speaking of Christmas, a little sneak preview. One of our Christmas shows this year coming up on Christmas Eve weekend, we're doing something Gar has talked about so often. We're doing an Around the Horn episode, a Christmas episode.
Ah, yeah.
So I know Gar is looking forward to that. I hope you all are too.
Yeah. Should be fun. I ran across something called Carry On Christmas, and I found two different years of Carry On Christmas, their specials, and that was kind of fun to run across.
Yeah.
I was screening it to see if I was going to use any of it, but I couldn't.
Ah.
Now, a little bit ribald for me. We did a Carry On Monster one, and that was not that bad. But this one was a little more of a...
Carry On, that's one of the UK things, right?
Yes, yeah. It's a UK comedy group, and they established themselves, I think, it's similar to Around the Horn. It's a whole bunch of folks, and they're really funny, and they get it. But it's more of a video experience, and I guess that they used to have... possibly a weekly program. Well, their main push is this: is we didn't get it here in America, but a long time ago in the UK, all of the actors were male, whether it was a male or female role, and so you know it led to a bunch of guys dressing up as the female parts. Well, okay. They took it a little bit further in carry on. And
we have to make way for Orson Welles here tonight.
And now, until next time, till we meet again in the same place, I remain as always, obediently yours.
You may not find us on your TV, because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you by... Brought to you by RADIO.
Well, we didn't quite get that in there, but okay.
It was close.
Didn't get it all in, but we were close.
Well, there you go. What more can you ask for?
So you're gonna have 3 weekends of Christmas stories.
Well, I mean, pretty much. I kind of orient the last month of Horrible Heart more centric to Christmas. And the great thing about it is that there are a lot of Christmas themed ghost stories out there. Of course, Scrooge is a ghost story. Any way you want to tackle it, it's a ghost story. So that's always fun. Santa Claus is an elf, and he's doing all kinds of crazy stuff, going to Mars. What's the other thing? There was one where he versus the devil. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can play with on the Christmas side of things, horror-related.
Well, you know, because they got so many good, you know, Christmas stories for your pre-features, so hopefully you'll have some good stories to go with that as well. So,
well, I can tell you the pre-feature tomorrow isn't going to really be all that horror related. It's a Green Acres Christmas, where Eddie Albert pontificates about the preciousness of our Christmas tree. Yeah, because I think in Hooterville, you're not allowed to cut down a tree, even if it's on your own property, and he's going to fight it. you know, you can't even cut down your own tree, you know. And it's like, nope, it's against the law. That's just, just growing up, those television programs, the Beverly Hillbillies and Hooterville and all, they were just so much fun.
They were. You know, and they were all still doing well in the ratings, well enough to stick around, but new guy came in for CBS and said, cut out all that urban stuff. It's gone.
The rural purge, I think it was called, or something like that. Wasn't it?
They were getting the rural purge. Exactly. Yeah, because you lost Beverly Hillbillies, and they were still riding high enough in the ratings. Green Acres and Petticoat Junction, all three, got the X, as well as Hee Haw.
Did Hee Haw go the wayside of, did it?
Yeah, but Hee Haw picked it up in syndication and stayed on for several more years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember being haunted by Hee Haw. I could sit there and watch it, but a lot of times young kids have the opportunity of doing what? I'm going to go outside and play. Yeah. If the TV's that, I'm not getting it. Go outside and play. I don't know if children these days are allowed to do that anymore.
It's a little different out there than when we were youngins, Gar, when we were youngins.
Well, they have a phone cemented to their forehead, so, you know, they can't go outside.
Well, since you lost your own, you got yours there too, right?
Yeah. I'm having to get used to my use of phone. Because I cut the cord. I cut the cable. That was it. Cut the cable.
Cut the cable. Cut that phone. Cut yourself shaving and cut yourself. Cut all kinds of things.
Yeah, I stay away from sharp objects, as you know. Cutting.
They only allow me rounded scissors, so those don't cut very well.
Yeah. The old safety scissors, huh? Yeah. one of the things in my collection, I've got some Batman safety scissors. What would they cut? Nothing I can find.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd cut Play-Doh. Maybe.
Yeah, no, you know, I always kind of like, I could, my mom does some scrapbooking. So I always like to borrow the pinking shears every now and then.
Oh, man, you catch the dickens if she catches you, though.
If she catches me, yeah, yeah.
If she catches you, yeah.
But mom, yeah, I'm just being artistic. And she didn't buy that. She didn't buy that.
No, no. And my grandmother had these German gingers. They were scissors called gingers. And they were sharp enough that you could cut the sun out of the sky with them. I mean, they were super sharp.
That's
and they were the good scissors. They were the good scissors. And you never touched the good scissors unless you wanted to die.
Unless you wanted to be stabbed by them.
That'll get you. That's my grandmother. Yeah, yeah. That was some rough stuff then. You don't mess with grandma's shears.
Yep.
And no, they would cleave a child in half just by looking at them. They were that sharp. They were you did not mess with those scissors. And now that I'm older, I've got a pair, and they're amazing, but they're very special occasion. I don't bring them out often. Christmas time is a great time for it.
Yeah.
Cutting up the decorative papers to wrap gifts and stuff. Those gingers are amazing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you can still find them, but you have to go to like Joanne's Fabrics or something to find them. You can't find them.
We have a couple. Actually, the Joanne headquarters are right up here in Huntsville, Ohio. Just a scissors throw away from here.
Just a scissors throw away.
Yep.
I like that.
Which does not mean you should throw away your scissors. It does not mean that.
Yeah. Never throw your scissors.
No.
Or run with the, you're not supposed to run with them either, I don't think.
Unless you're Al Yankovic. That was the name of one of his albums was Running with Scissors.
Running with Scissors? Running with Scissors. Oh, okay.
Running with Scissors.
Yeah. And Al Yankovic was another amazing individual that noticed that the niche market for novelty musics. And we got so much fun stuff out of him. But he's all over the place.
He is. And, you know, that's the thing, you know, Spike Jonze was great, but he never really understood rock and roll. He found it so hard to parody it because he said it was so ridiculous to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And yet years later, you know, we love our rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe what it was, it was an evolution where we had Spike Jonze with the music of the day. Like, I thought it was crazy. I had loved Spike Jonze, but I had been introduced to some music by Spike Jonze, and I had never heard the originals. So one day I'm driving my car, it's a very old car, with a very old radio, and I tune into a very old radio station. They're playing the Mills Brothers. They played Three Coins in a Fountain. I was like, what is wrong with this? Because I knew it from Spike Jonze, and Spike Jonze is all jazzed up and everything. And I was like, whoa, man. So I could see where they parodied it. It was really amazing.
Big fans of Mills Brothers. And what they usually did is started out a song kind of very low and mellow, then they jazzed it up usually midway through the song. Big fan. Right out of Piqua, Ohio, the Mills Brothers. For a while their home was a museum, but I think that's long since closed, so since most people don't know who Mills Brothers were anymore. It's terrible. They were the first African-American singing group to have their own nationwide network radio show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can't be showing our age, Dave. We're not that old.
No, we're not that old, no. But, you know, it's funny because they went off in the late 40s, did world tour. And when they came back, a lot of people didn't know who they were because the ink spots were kind of taken over for them. So they had to come out and do a bunch of more things to do it. But they were just always so relaxed. wherever you saw him, and you know, he even did appearances on the Dean Martin show, Jack Benny show, all kinds of variety shows they would show up on.
And I was going somewhere with the evolution was that Spike Jonze did an amazing job of parodying the musics of his time period, and then Al Yankovic, who listened to Spike Jonze, parodied the musics of his time, and it worked out great.
And at least we forget Homer and Jethro, who was what we played in there, Crept into the Crept and Clyde. They were people were begging them to parody their songs, because whenever their songs got parodied, their sales went up.
Right. Yeah, there's something. Al Yankovic made a video and he said everybody wanted me to parody their stuff so they get famous. There was something about him and some type of weird tie with Madonna, and it was said that Madonna wanted him so much to parody some of her songs so she would get more famous.
Like a
I don't
virgin,
know if that's true or not.
Which she did. Well, you know, part of that comes from that self-made mockumentary that he did about himself. I don't think Madonna was all over him for that, but it was interesting.
I don't know how much all that is true or not, but
it
makes for funny viewing.
Yeah.
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 Well, Dave, I think we're going to put a cork in it for tonight.
Okay, let's put a cork in this thing, and we do that best by bringing on the one, the only, James Durant.
James Durant. Good night, Dave.
Good night, sir.
Good night,
sir.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the same, and inconsecutive. Good night. Good night.
All right, good night already. Jeez.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.
Thank you to Fort Myers performing this week.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.